I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Like, knitting's like sustainable, you know, and there's like so much like fast fashion out there nowadays, and it's killing the environment. I'm like, we have to feel bad about all that. But I'm like, I'm with you, Carolyn. Like, I see.
That's why. That's why you just pick up the needles, Karen.
I'm ducking out, you're ducking out. Let's duck out together, see what it's all about.
Ducking out, ducking out, ducking out, ducking out.
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, a podcast that believes the world would be a better place if dykes were in charge. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
I'm Melody Kamali, and I agree. And today we're dyking out about knitting with Taisha Berger.
Yes, very excited. We love these episodes that are just queer feeling topics and can't wait to get into it. But first, make sure that you leave us a 5-star review and rate us, whatever, on Apple Podcasts. Do the thing. You know the deal. Join our Patreon. That's where we get a lot of support. That's where we put out an extra episode every week. And this week was a doozy.
This week was fun. It was a long one.
Yeah, this one was like 40 minutes. Like, we used to talk about a lot of this stuff on the main apps, and now we've moved it to behind a paywall where we're a lot more loosey-goosey. We're a lot more gossipy. We're a lot more personal. I'm talking
about... I hate
about
to say it.
The sex toys I buy.
Yeah, I'm having... I don't want to say I'm having more fun there, because I don't want to upset anyone listening to this. I need to find a way. I've just gotten so much more uninhibited on the Patreon.
Yes.
And of course, it's behind a paywall. Why wouldn't I? I need to bring more fun to the main eps, though. I can feel myself, you know, picking faves.
Okay, let's try to keep that energy from our off topics, which you can get for as little as $5 a month. And it goes a long way to support us. Also, can somebody make a Wikipedia for us, please?
Whoa.
We've been cited in enough things that and we have enough listeners. One of you has to know how to go in and make a Wikipedia about us.
We've been written up. There are things to cite.
Yeah, there are many things to cite. I feel like we have had some, you know, pop culture moments associated with us. So, you know, do it. Do the thing.
Yeah.
We can't make it for ourselves. So you have to make it for us. And
have you seen the things that get articles? Come on.
I know. Toilet paper orientation. Toilet paper orientation has a very long Wikipedia, whether you put the roll on one way or the other, you know?
Yeah. I just started following Depths of Wikipedia on Instagram, and after following that, I can confidently say we deserve one. Yeah.
We should be on there. It's insulting. It's insulting. Make us wiki official. All right, Melody.
Carolyn.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Okay.
I'm just so intrigued by what I see on the Google Doc.
Usurping me.
You can't put that word on there and make me wait.
Okay.
Carolyn.
Yes.
What's the gayest thing you did this week?
I wore nipple tassels to Stonewall.
Huh. Oh, for Honey Burlesque?
No. Oh. I mean, yes.
Oh, just for a casual happy hour on a Tuesday?
No, no. It was Honey Burlesque, but I wasn't doing it because it just happened to be, it was a serendipitous moment where I was in the city for a friend's birthday and somebody had sent her a package with four pairs of nipple tassels, which I'll show you over the Zoom, and maybe we can put a picture.
Oh, I'll screenshot this
on Instagram. Well, I don't have them on right now, so don't get too excited if you're listening to this.
No, but Carolyn has them on. We'll post on the Patreon.
Yeah, I do regret that somebody does have a picture of me wearing these with my shirt up. Anyway. So they got four pairs of them, and the next day we were all going to brunch together, and then we were going to go out to Stonewall, and she suggested that, you know, there were four of us there about to head to brunch. She's like, what if we all wear these nipple tassels under our clothing? And it was very funny. Like, Cecilia was so, so excited, one.
Yeah.
Because of course she's always wanted to wear them, and the whole time she was just like aroused by having these on. I didn't even notice
they were
on. One of
the horniest people I know. Can I say I love your horny wife.
Yes, I do too. I love so many things about her, and that's one of them. And I love, she was being so cute and excited about these nipple tests that we all had a different color. They're heart shaped. My friend took the pink, which would have made sense for me, obviously, but I took the black ones. I was fine with that. And then, was out at Stonewall just like being sometimes completely forgetful that I had them on, and then other times like very aware. And then my friend would be telling people about it, and then it'd be like, and everyone's like, we want to see. So there I am at Stonewall, like flashing people my nipple tassel. I know it. It was very, very gay. And I wanted to keep them. I don't know like how many times you can wear them, but I wore them, on the drive back upstate, because I was like, I don't want them to, the adhesive to get dirty or something, so I'll just put them on for the car ride.
Okay.
I hope I don't get in an accident. That was my thought. I'm like, imagine getting into an accident and the ambulance comes and they have to like rip my shirt open and whatever, and then I'm just wearing like literally like a sweaty hoodie and nipple tassels. So
wow.
That's solidarity. Nipple tassels is my gayest thing of the week. is that better than what you thought it might be? Is it worse? Is it on par?
First, it said tassels. I obviously knew it was of the nipple variety.
Right.
Then solidarity, you added.
I did it in solidarity with my friend who didn't want to be the only one wearing.
I was like, are they blue and yellow?
I know. As soon as I wrote that, I'm like, it's not that kind of, though I would. If somebody wants to send me some blue and yellow tassels, I will wear them until we see this thing. thing through. Wouldn't that be... That'll be my horrible way of publicly dealing with it.
I feel horrible for even making the joke, actually.
No, we're comedian. We got to do it.
Keeping it in.
We got to keep it in. All right, Melody, what's the gayest thing you did this week?
Oh, my God. You know, speaking of horrible times, I don't want to even like look back on this last week. I was reading a lot of the news. I had my period. I was in such a low place. It was a bad mental health week. You know this. Talk to me about it off mic.
Yeah.
And then, you know, to top it all off, I got attacked by the dog. I'm dog sitting right now.
Yes.
And that wasn't fun. But what's gay about that is that right when it happened right in front of my friend who I'm dog sitting for before she left for her flight. She watched me get fully attacked, bleeding out from this attack. And she kept profusely apologizing. She felt so bad. And I'm uncomfortable. I don't know how many ways to say it's okay. Like, there's nothing we can do about, let's just move on. Please stop. Yeah. It's like, I can't take compliments and I can't take I'm sorry's that right. Well. So I just kept saying, no, it's fine. You know, hurt people hurt people. Like, because she's like, wow, thank you. Like, you really have empathy. I was like, of course I have empathy. Like, this is a rescue dog. He didn't know better. He was triggered. He used to be abused. He was just acting in defense when she was trying to teach me how to put a harness on him. Like, hurt people hurt people.
Yeah.
Yes. And I say this, mind you, I have countless enemies. Multiple grudges. So many hurt people I fully hate and can't see the humanity in. But for a dog? Yeah. Full empathy, full support. I wish Linus the dog the best on his healing journey.
Wow. Yeah.
And I feel like that's queer.
That's very queer.
I like animals more than I like humans, and that is queer.
Yes.
And queer also, my new identity. I'm so sorry. I'm not a bisexual anymore. I'm not a lesbian anymore. Hear about it on the Patreon. I'm sick of labels. I'm done.
Yeah. If you want to know what prompted that, just head over to the Patreon and we are...
So much. It's been a slow buildup. I'm sick of it. You can call me queer or fluid from this point over. No, but at the same time, I get a lot of good messages who really appreciate... Ugh, God, I'm everything.
They'll have to find another bicon. They'll have to find another bicon,
I guess. So that's that. I don't want to look back on this last horrendous week. So instead, I'll say my actual gayest thing is going to happen tonight.
Okay.
I am going to the Atlantic Theater to see English, new play. It's the one that took the place of Shush, play last week's guest was in. It's about four Iranians and their English language teacher. It takes place in this classroom. It's set in 2008. It has queer cast members, one of which I really want to get on the podcast, Pouya Mohseni, a trans Iranian hilarious actress who is a part of this bigger like queer Iranian collective.
Yeah.
I've attended events for, and I'm going with all Iranian queers tonight. We haven't seen each other since before the pandemic. We're going to get Iranian food. I've never had like a group of queer Iranian friends, and I was just starting that journey in February 2020. We all hung out at Henrietta Hudson's for my friend Ciruz's event. Trans in the Wild is his organization. He's a Persian trans man. I'm going with non-binary Persians.
All the labels that you're done with.
I know. Everything I just railed against. I'm so excited to be represented in my hang tonight. It's going to be so good and so queer and so Persian. I'm so excited.
Love it. That sounds great, and I can't wait to hear about it, and we'll even let you mind that for the gayest thing next week, since we're on the cusp. So,
we are.
I'm sure even more gay things, you know, you're anticipating now, and then it will happen and be even gayer. And yes, let's get Pouya on the podcast. But we have a different guest today who we're very excited about.
Yes.
And let's just get into it. We're diking out with craft master Taisha Berger about knitting. Ty is currently a bartender at the Brooklyn gay bar Good Judy. That's where we met her, and has recently started a regular crafting night there. She brings queer joy wherever she goes, and we're lucky to have her bring it to our podcast. Let's go. Hi, it's so glad to see you over Zoom. We've only seen each other in real life, which is a rarity these days to only know someone in person rather than through the internet.
Absolutely. I think the first time we met was probably at Good Judy, right?
It was at Good Judy. So we were having our Pride show at Good Judy, and it was our first time doing a show there, and you were bartending and slinging drinks and doing an amazing job. I'm like, oh, we have such a cool bartender for the show.
Everyone was talking about it.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, have you seen that cool hot bartender?
Yeah.
All night. I swear. And that was the only time I think I'd seen you. So it's good to see you again.
Oh, it's good to see you too. I mean, that was like, it was one of the first couple weekends I had started working at Good Judy. So it was like a huge introduction just into like truly one of the first like queer bars that I've worked at ever, you know, and to catch like this sick comedy show. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yes. Oh, man, that's great. We need to do more stuff there, but I feel like the room is a little bit small, but I feel like there's like some type of show we can put on there.
Yeah,
I think so. Right? I think another comedy show would be pretty sick.
Yeah, because we do our shows at Stonewall usually, and the room is a little bit bigger, but I feel like we should be doing more in Brooklyn, and it's such a cute space for that. I want to ask you more about working at Good Judy, but before anything,
we have to ask the question. Mm-hmm. And that question is, Ty, what's the gayest thing you did this week?
Okay, it is only Tuesday, but
I know. You can reach back into last week for sure.
Well, I guess like yesterday I held like a craft night at Good Judy, actually, which felt pretty gay to me. It was pretty wonderful.
On brand, on theme.
Yeah, right. Always. You know, I came prepared today. But
Tell us more.
We had like this little craft night that I've been doing. It's a good opportunity for me to like sit at a bar and not get like wasted, you know, but also like work on something and socialize like with other crafters. We had someone doing cross stitch yesterday and someone was like spinning yarn, which I've never even done. I'm not going to touch that one, but it looked really cool. But I guess so far that's what I'd have to come up with. I hope it's gay enough. I don't know.
Oh, that's so gay. Very gay. Craft night at a gay bar? Are you kidding me? I mean, that's like top 10 answers right there of gayest things. I can't. Yes. The only thing that'd be gayer is if it was like for Pisces only or something, like something if you tied astrology into the craft night.
Right.
That might have brought it up a notch, but that's pretty gay. So how is it just people like, it's like BYOC, bring your own craft and everybody work on it together? Or is someone like leading, or is it like a show and tell?
I guess it's like all of those things. I'm sort of hosting and like running around and whatnot. And yeah, it's like bring your own craft. There's so many different forms of crafting. There's so many different things you can do.
Right.
I could go on and on all day about it. But it is just really nice to see like queers come together, you know, and I think crafting is such a big part of the queer community anyways. I don't know if y'all have heard of Club Cumming, Alan Cumming.
Yes.
Open that up. There used to be a knit at night there on like Tuesday nights as well. Yeah. Alan Cumming knits. Like, he's freaking cool.
That was my follow-up question. Alan knits?
Yeah. He's an avid knitter. I don't know. I think it's one of the cooler things you could be doing nowadays, but that's just me.
I love that. Huh. I can't wait to get into it because knitting and crafting is all queer, but why? And we got to explore this because every queer I know does
something in that realm.
Well, I know, Kara, I know that you knit. Do you knit at all, Melody, or?
I did when I was a kid. My grandma taught me, and that was how we bonded. But I really haven't since, like, elementary school.
I think we need to remind listeners of the origin story of this episode, because I do think I talked about it. I can't remember if it was on one of our like bonus episodes or if it was on the main, but I was at Good Judy and I see Ty there when I, and they're wearing a shirt that says knitting is sexy, right?
Yeah.
That I like, stop right there. We have to talk about this right now.
God.
And then you show me your Instagram and I'm like blown away by the complicated knits, because while I do knit, I'm very limited in what I'm able to make. And I definitely don't knit as much as I used to when I was a teenager. So yeah. Melody, I'm a little bit more like you. Like I kind of learned the basics. I did it a lot at first. And then my mom keeps being like, can I throw out this giant Rubbermaid of yarn? I'm like, no, I'm going to get back into it one day. Keep
you
it.
You will. You absolutely
hold
will.
Hold on to it for me.
Never throw away yarn.
And then, you know, Park Slope legend Ruthie was at Good Judy that night. We love Ruthie. And then Ruthie was talking about how her mom loved knitting. And I'm like, oh, knitting, it really brings people together.
It does.
I'm sure there's so many people in our community who love to do it or are maybe curious. So what got you into knitting? Usually I feel like a grandmother, that's a gateway into knitting.
Yeah, for sure. So for me, it was actually in high school. I'm born and raised in Brooklyn. I went to Midwood High School. And one of the English teachers there ran a knitting club. So I was probably like 16 or 17. And me and my best friend at the time, like, immediately ran. And we're like, we have to pick this up. We have to do it. And it was that weird, like, we kind of started and then we're not so sure about it. And my ex's mom actually was a pretty avid knitter. And she kind of like drove that home. You know, she was like, let's do this. Like, this will be a fun thing for us to do. So, you know, like a mother figure. And that's usually what it is, right? Like a grandmother or mother introducing you to knitting. And I started going to Argyle Yarn Shop, which is a yarn shop in Brooklyn. I actually worked there for about a year or so, but I'm turning 30 this year and they've known me since I was like 17. So they're really like their family to me, truly. But you know, I'd go there and I'd get all my yarn there, and it's something that I pick up and put down a lot. But you know, your skills like never go away. I'm sure you could pick up needles today.
Right.
You'd be able to like finagle something at the very least. Yeah. But yeah, it's been like a solid 12 years now that I've just been doing it. I love doing it. I just love making things, and I can watch all the TV that I want and nobody's going to get on my case about it because I'm making a sweater while I'm watching this show, you know?
I mean, that was a big thing for me, was feeling, as a Capricorn, I love to feel productive. So while watching TV, I'm like, but I can make something while I watch TV. This is great. But on the flip side, that's why I feel like I can only make a scarf, because like once I need to start counting, then I'm like, trouble. Now there's trouble and I have to pay attention to what I'm doing. Am I not doing it enough? Like, should I do it more? Can I get to a place where I'm like making a sweater while watching TV is like my dream?
Absolutely. That's also why you just have like 20, 25 projects on at once, you know? Okay. You just like work on as many things as you possibly can and dip in and out. Like, that's what I do. I have things that I started 10 years ago that are just still on the needles. And I'm like, I'll buy new needles that can, you know, like stay over there. And I'll pick it up like eventually. But yeah, it's really just like, you know, it's with any hobby, it can be very frustrating and whatnot. But it gives me like such a sense of calm sometimes to just like sit and like listen to someone talk and, you know, like make my little sweater or something.
What's the going rate for needles? We're, I don't know a thing. Let's start basics.
Is that the name? It's the yarn. The yarn is expensive. Is a little bit cost prohibitive. Yeah.
It's also, okay, so I kind of love that I have, like, what do we have, 2 days to sit here and talk about knitting? Is that what it just varies so much. You know, everything varies. There's, like, this dichotomy that comes along with knitting as well. And much like we were talking about, like, apples and androids earlier.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, there are knitters who use, like, acrylic yarn and, like, plastic-based yarn and the cheaper things, you know. And there are knitters who are like, I'll never use this, you know. Like, they go for the 100% wool or, like, angora. It's so dramatic. Like, knitting is so unnecessarily dramatic sometimes. I don't really care. I just like knitting. So I use, like, what I can get, and it doesn't really matter to me. But there are definitely people who are for sure, like, bougie and will only spend top dollar, you know, for, like, great needles, but they're, like, aluminum and steel tipped, and there are all these, like, crazy things going on with them. And I'm over here like, okay, I'll take, like, my nice little, like, bamboo needles. Like, I'm okay with that. So to answer your question, basically, it just varies so much. And then you take the needle sizes into account as well. Because you have those jumbo needles that you can, like, make those huge blankets out of. Some people skip that altogether. Yeah. And they do, like, the arm knitting. I don't know if y'all have seen that. That was, like, kind of popular. Oh, yeah. There's this thing called arm knitting. And the yarn is just, like, so big that you use your arms instead of needles to knit with, which is, like, cost effective, I guess. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Is that on TikTok? Like, is this what I'm missing on TikTok?
I didn't know. I bet it's on TikTok.
There's probably yarn TikTok, but I didn't know arm knitting.
That's totally a thing.
Like, sounds like a workout. Like, my fingers, I have to, like, take breaks because your fingers hurt after a while of knitting a lot. But to be...
You're just, like, going in with this huge yarn. Like, I've seen, I think there's a woman who knits, like, you know those LED lights that you hang around in your bedroom? So she makes, like, these kind of sculptures, but she knits them together. It's so wild. There's so many different things that you could do with it.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I just had to open up arm knitting for beginners tab, saving that for later.
I'm like, am I throwing so much information at you right now?
This is great. I want to talk all things knitting. I have a friend who is, like, very into knitting, has a tattoo that says knit fast, die warm.
Oh my God.
she was telling me, because she knits these, like, beautiful scarves or, like, even socks and stuff, and she'll do, you know, like a very fine yarn for certain things. I'm like, this must take forever to make. And then her friends are all like, oh, when are you going to knit me a sweater? And she's like, do you have, like, $200 to give? Because, you know, to bait the yarn and the time that it takes to do it, it's definitely not a thing like, oh, I'll save money by knitting my own sweaters.
Yeah, right. No, that's not, like, why I do that. I wish that would be so, like,
I wish too. I wish it was cost effective. But, like, sometimes I will see, like, a cute knit hat at Zara, and I think, like, I could make this, but this hat is, like, $7.
Like, why not just get it? I get it. I'm so torn on that sometimes, because, yeah, it's like, knitting's, like, sustainable, you know, and there's, like, so much, like, fast fashion out there nowadays, and it's, like, killing the environment, and, like, we have to feel bad about all that. But I'm like, I'm with you,
Carolyn.
Like, I see.
That's why. That's why you just pick up the needles, Carolyn.
Oh my God, no. I'm
raging
so
capitalist. Yeah.
I think about that a lot, though, honestly, like, just capitalism in general. Because I'm with you, where I would also, I look at a hat sometimes, I'm like, I could make that. And then I give them my money. You know, I'm like, I don't want to do this at this very moment. So I'll just buy it instead. It's horrible. Yeah. But yeah, you only have that guilt, I think, if you know how to knit. Truly. I don't think other people, like, think about that. They're like, I'm getting this hat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. JK's, but DIY, everything DIY feels inherently anti-capitalist. And that's why I think so many of the queers I know are doing all these craft nights. I've realized every LGBT center, I feel like I've looked at their calendar, there's always been a knitting night.
Yeah.
Queer bars are popping up with them. It is a thing.
I mean,
I can't, what?
We're good with our hands.
What can we say?
I was waiting for that to be brought up. But also a lot of gay men are having gay knit nights to like sort of queer that in the gender sense. Like a lot of people are taught from their grandmothers or mothers, and a lot of young boys growing up don't even have that option presented to them.
Right.
So
is that shifting, do you think, like the demographics of the knitting community, as you know, men are learning more about toxic masculinity, or especially like in Brooklyn, like where are the straight men knitting?
I honestly would see a decent amount of men like come through to the yarn shop.
Yeah.
And I mean, I told you about Club Coming as well. I'm like jumping all over the place there. But yeah, that's like a spot where men would definitely like go. And it kind of goes back to like knitting circles, right? And you had like those moments like with just the people in your crew. They're usually like older women, but they would sit and convene and talk and catch up and stuff like that. And I feel like that's definitely happening a lot more. Do y'all like notice people knitting on the train or anything like that? Because I feel like, I've definitely over the last couple years, like seen more men like sitting there knitting or crocheting or doing some needlepoint even. It's really nice.
I'm just thinking like, what a great way to pick up women. But like, this is me being like a really just hardcore lesbian. And whenever there are things that men do that I'm like, oh, if I was a woman, I'd be, or if I was like a straight woman, I'd be totally into this. I'm like, actually, no, it's like, because I'm a gay woman, when men do things that are like classically feminine, I'm like, how attractive of them, you know? while like all my straight friends are like, oh, he had knitting on his Tinder, swipe left. Like,
I get that. I mean, it's like, just to go into feminism and knitting for a little bit. Like, there are feminists who refuse to knit because it's seen as like this super traditional, like, you know, women are like supposed to be knitting. We're not going to do that shit. And it's kind of wild to me. I'm like, you can't gender this like hobby. That's so crazy.
Right. It's so weird. Some people see it as like anti-feminist. That's why they have an aversion to it. And then others are like, see it as radically feminist, like reclaiming knitting, like DIY. It's all over the place.
Yeah. And I'm kind of like, we just want to knit, you know, we just want to make things.
Right.
It's like, I don't know. I had never looked at it from any point of view like that. It's a hobby, you know, like people have hobbies. They play video games or they go, I don't know. People take walks as their hobbies, I guess. Is that something people do? But I'm like,
I'm pretty skillless, so I'm going to say yes, actually. That's remind me, Carolyn, when people ask, that's my hobby.
I'm like, that counts, right? Like going for walks. I have friends who just do that. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Very good at it.
I had a friend call it urban hiking, and that makes it sound like a hobby.
Ooh, there you go.
Just walk through New York, and you're hiking in an urban setting.
I really love urban hiking. Like, I would go for urban like hikes with my friends if they framed it in that way. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't necessarily see knitting as like this radical feminist thing. And I don't see it as something that's like taking away from anything. That is my own point of view. I just don't get like those points of views kind of. I'm like, let people do what they want. Let them craft if they want to,
and
you know.
It's creating. You're creating something. I also love knitting as a way to like gifting knit stuff. Is such a way to show, like, whenever I go to a baby shower, which is rare, but whenever I go to a baby shower and there's always that one aunt that like knit the beautiful like blanket or whatever or crocheted, lumping crocheting and knitting together. I don't know if that's controversial, but
I think it's okay.
Okay. I'm like looking to you for permission to lump.
They're going to come for me. The knitters are coming for me after I said yes to that one for sure.
But I'm like, what a beautiful, like, this is so much better than anything that you snagged off the registry. Like, yes, you need the stuff off registry, but like this took, someone had to like sit down, think about it, pick out the yarn, think about what they want to do. There's so much thought into it. Mm-hmm. I know that like, I'll do that with baking. I'm like, I'm putting time into it. I'm putting love, I'm putting care. I want to like please and delight somebody. And I'm going to make them and hopefully they'll feel special. And that's better than like showing up with like a bottle of wine to a party. You
yeah,
know?
It's like, it's very intentional. That's what I like yeah. about it. You know, I probably have a 10-year long list of things that I've supposed to like made for people over the past couple of years and they haven't quite gotten it. But I'm also like, you can't like rush that. Like, I'm not going to rush through right. something and make it for you. And there have been times even where I'm making something and I, like, once it's done, I was like, oh, I've been making it for this person and like didn't yeah. even realize it kind of. But it's definitely a handy skill, like in the gift giving department, you know, and yeah. even my friends who are like, oh, I want to get into knitting. Sometimes I'm like, here are the supplies you'll need. Get started. Like, don't ask me for a hat anymore. Now you can make it.
Right. I knit a girlfriend when I was in college. Well, okay. I crocheted a rainbow scarf.
Oh.
So like going, yeah, the whole length with one color, you know, and my French grandmother saw me working on it and she was big, like into knitting and stuff. So she was like interested, but she's also like, who are you making this gay scarf for? Like, she didn't know I was gay. I think that was like the thing I did that kind of tipped her off and made her be like, huh, I've been to San Francisco. I know what these flags mean. I know what the rainbows mean in that country. But it really felt like the gayest present I ever, like that was such a gay act of love is knitting,
I mean, it really sounds like it. Did so what ended up happening? I'm curious.
She volunteered her thoughts on gay people, which was great. She was like, it was a conversation starter. I still didn't, I was like, oh, I'm making this for my friend. And she was like, oh, like, I'm, you know, fine and accepting of gay people. I just don't think they should have children.
Oh, like, Jesus Christ. Okay.
Good to know. Good to know.
Did you and your girlfriend stay long together after that? Or
we did. We shouldn't have. And like, do I wish I took the scarf back? Yes, I do. Yeah.
There you go.
That's what I'm normally like, no, it's a gift, you let them keep it, but like that one, I'm like, no. Should have taken that back. Yeah.
There are a couple of like superstitions even. I'm curious how it applies to just like gay queer couples, but there's like this superstition in knitting, like you're not supposed to knit your boyfriend a sweater. Like that's just something that you don't do. Because if you give it to them, you're going to break up. And I'm like, this has to apply to relationships in general. It's like, we're way down the line now.
Yeah.
I do not gift. I don't think I've ever gifted any person that I've been seeing anything that I've knit. Like, I just don't do it. I'm like, I'm not even going to invoke the spirits on this one. You're not getting me.
I think that's like a reasonable superstition. And now I'm having this memory and I'm thinking it was like on an episode, but I heard of somebody who like their boyfriend actually knit them a sweater or a scarf or something. And they like freaked out and broke up with him over it. And I'm like, huh? Like, that's the sweetest thing I ever heard. Again, this is like where that's my, so like, intense. I don't understand straight women because I'm like, that's so sweet. And they're like, no. I'm looking at Melody. I'm like, Melody, was that you? Was that your story? Did a boyfriend give you? Did your boyfriend knit you something and you dumped him? Okay.
No, I wish.
Like, who was this?
No. Yeah.
But I think that would also translate to queer couples. Yeah, I think
I would honestly guess as much. I'd assume as much.
That's good to know. So when my wife asked me, like, why haven't you knit me anything? Now I have a good answer.
See, if you're married,
because it's you and me.
If you're married, it's better.
If you're married, okay. It's supposed to be fine.
Oh,
but it's like okay. It's a boyfriend.
Help me out here, Ty. I don't want to knit my wife. I'm just kidding. She deserves to be warm like the rest of us.
She does deserve to be warm. Please, just make her something. I'm like, you are. Like, no, you have to do it now.
Okay. Are there misconceptions about the knitting community?
Ooh, yes, for sure, I would say. But maybe not in ways that, like, people would think. I feel like people think knitters are, like, you know, these, like, generally speaking, like, jovial folk, you know, it's like, oh, we just sit in it and everyone's all happy and nothing bad ever happens. But I feel like so many things have gone down, like, especially in the last couple years. I mean, y'all remember those pink pussy hats?
I was trying to figure out an organic way to bring this up. From the
Why
jump.
Did you just say
I just I also don't want to offend listeners I know who have made some. Like, you know, yes. That we have people listening who knit a pussy hat.
Of course.
It's okay.
Oh God. That one I'm sorry, that cracks me up.
Yeah. It was such a thing. Like, those were the knitting circles I started noticing.
Right.
Yeah.
In 2016.
If I remember correctly, they were they getting made to be worn for the Women's March? Was that what it is?
Yes.
What it
was? Yes. Yeah.
And it was after Trump got elected. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they called them pussy hats because, you know, Trump had the whole grab them by the pussy. It was met, like, it seemed pretty positively for a little bit.
Right.
And I remember someone telling me about this and I'm like, I'm not making it. Like, I just don't like pink. I was like, I'm not doing this. I refuse to do this. I'm just going to go to the march and not do that. But then there was this huge backlash about it because it seemed to be like excluding of trans folks and folks with brown pussies, you know.
Right. It became like a symbol for white feminism.
Yeah, pretty
white
much.
Cis. Yeah.
It was a really interesting uproar. I'm not going to lie. It was just kind of crazy that, like, knitting was at the center of this, you know.
Right.
It's not that I don't know where I stand, because obviously, you know, I'm here for trans rights and black and brown people and whatnot. But it was just so odd to me that knitting was, like, at the core of this particular backlash. I was just like, oh, wow. Like, knitting is, like, a national news story right now because people are, like, fighting about the symbolism of, like, these pink pussy hats, you know? I don't know. I don't know that I like them anyway, just in general. But who knows? Yeah. I'm curious to see what people are going to think about this one, too, to be quite honest.
You know how many are still out? Like, they're just in 50 years, like, uncovering them. Vintage stores.
I don't see them in the wild too much. I don't see them out and about, but I think because of the backlash against it, but I also feel that a lot of people probably got involved because they were like, oh, I actually know how to knit and I haven't done it in a while, and this seems like a fun opportunity to pick up the needles again, and weren't really thinking about
Inauguration, you know, day, the march. It's in January. It'll be cold.
Yeah, it's knitting season, right?
Except it was unseasonably warm that day, I remember, in 2017.
It was, It was like a really weird day. Yeah, no, I'm with the both of you where I was just like, I can see how, like, a knitter would just get caught up. It's like, oh, this is like this cute thing that we're doing. And, like, I do understand the backlash. I do.
Right.
But I'm also just like, whoa, y'all, this is like intense. It's a pussy hat. I like now hate saying I hate the name of the hat even, which was a good argument. Like it's such a bad name for it. And then, yeah, they picked it because like pink, symbolized like femininity and, folks were just like, you know, we're just equating vaginas with women, which we all know is like a big no-no. And it's just, there was a lot that came along with all of that. That was a pretty big uproar.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Another one. Have y'all heard of Ravelry before? Do you know that website?
No.
It's like Facebook for knitters, basically.
Okay.
And in 2019, this was like a fun one in that I had my friends like reaching out to me, like, have you seen this article? And I'm like, you're sending me an article about knitting? This is amazing. But they took an anti-Trump stance, like a hard one, because you have a lot of conservative knitters on Ravelry putting out like pro-Trump, like hat patterns, scarf patterns, mittens, onesies, right. I'm sure, what have you. And so in 2019, Ravelry was like, we are anti-Trump. We're getting rid of all this content. And, you know, people shat bricks over it. They truly were just like, where am I going to get my pro-Trump like patterns from. So a bunch of people like left like en masse, and they started like their own like knitting hubs and whatnot. I just remember that one also. I mean, that needed to happen. I didn't think it was a big deal until someone had pointed out. They're like, just go on Ravelry and, you know, just look up Trump and look up all the things that you might be able to find. And it really was just, it was pretty intense. Like, and, you know, it's the same thing going back to that hat at Zara. Like, you see those hats and stuff like that, and you're like, someone just got this from like the dollar store, or someone like manufactured this or something. And it's like, no, someone went out of their way to like hand make like this Trump thing. Wow. And yeah, the website was not taking any part in that. But that was another like pretty big story that had happened. And I think loads of people were like, I thought knitting was like supposed to be nice and everyone loves each other. And, you know, nobody supports Trump. And it's like, no, boo. Like, not at all. It's the opposite.
Right. Right. And that was actually something that I learned years ago. Just my friend's mom owns a yarn shop and is a knitter. And I was, and my friend's like very liberal and stuff. And I was shocked to learn that her mom's conservative. I'm like, what do you mean she's conservative? She's like into knitting. And I'm like, wait, why wouldn't I think conservative people like they're, it's not like, I guess just because we think of it as like super queer and like this like peaceful thing. And, you know, everyone's like zenning out over yarn that they're not like angry about abortion and like, you know, not wanting like they're supporting Hobby Lobby to not cover birth control and that like there are a lot of conservative people who knit and make crafts.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, it's not like this like cutesy little harmless craft. You know, it's like,
right.
I feel like people see me knitting sometimes and they're so disarmed by it. You know, I'm like, I could stab you theoretically with this needle if I wanted to kind of, but like, I don't know. There's something about it that does like make someone seem like a little more docile or just like, I don't know, like this weird, like submissiveness or something. And maybe that plays into it being like this seemingly domesticated craft for such a long time. You know, it's just like, oh, women do this. And it's like, I think a lot of people still consider it like a lesser craft, so to speak.
A lesser craft?
Yeah, I would say so.
How come?
Just because I think it has to deal with it being seen as like woman's work, truly. I think that's all that it is. Like things like domestic. Sewing. Yeah, like sewing and knitting, crocheting, maybe even quilting, you know, those are seen as things that like your grandma would do, you know, things that are like not as cool and whatnot, which is insane, truly. And I think I'd mentioned this before, but yeah, there's like that dichotomy of like back in the day, if you had time to sit and knit, you were like a higher society woman, you know, you have like free time and you can sit and knit. Whereas if you were poor and you needed to knit, because like you needed to be making your own clothing and whatnot. That's just what you were, was poor, you know, like you're not knitting for leisure. You're knitting because you have to. So there's like that huge difference there. But yeah, I mean, I've been talking for you. I think everyone knows. I don't think it's a lesser craft at all. I'm like, this is the greatest thing in the world and everyone should do it.
Yeah. You're like, actually don't release this. I'm deeply ashamed. we know you're a proud knitter.
You think it's sexy.
It is.
I do.
Have you seen this extreme knitting movement?
No.
Going on? I think what you were talking about reminded me of it. No, I think it's just a lot of like designers, artists trying to reclaim knitting and doing like really more experimental designs with it. Like, knitting in a big way, at least. Ooh. And trying to like subvert those stereotypes that come with it, that knitting's like domestic, tedious, boring, and really trying to like knit radically to kind of challenge that.
I love that.
Yeah. Extreme knitting. It's like on ESPNX.
I know. I'm like, are they knitting like underwater? Or yeah. Like, what is going on?
We need to come up with like a Twitch for knitting where you're just watching people knit.
I want that like David Blaine moment of like being in that like glass cube, like suspended, like hundreds of feet in the air, just like knitting up there. That's extreme knitting to me.
Right.
But no, I really haven't heard of this before, but I'm super interested.
I learned about it when I was like preparing for this. I was Googling around and I found an article that was like how knitting became cool. And it had mentioned it. And I saw someone wearing a t-shirt once that said, I knit before it was cool. So then I'm like, when did it become cool? Just in the last few years? Is that?
That's kind of like, I feel like what it feels like. I mean, I mentioned Argyle and they opened up, I think they've been open for 12 years now. And it felt like around that time there were all these, y'all know like meetup.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were like all these meetups for all these different knitting groups, which I think probably still exist. So there was like Pints and Pearls and a couple like other groups that were popping up. And I would say around that time, so this must have been like around 2010, 2012 or so. That's when I saw probably the most people I've ever seen with like knitting tattoos on and like seeing people knit on the trains and whatnot. I don't know. I feel like it must have always been cool to like a set amount of people. Like I just came into it at a different time, you know?
Yeah. I wonder if the pandemic accelerated.
I'm sure that,
people posting what they're knitting, getting into, you know, everyone.
Right. What a great time for knitting. Yeah. But also I couldn't go to my mom's to like get my needles, you know, like we couldn't visit.
That's one meetup that probably didn't translate well to Zoom.
Right.
Knitting
in front of a Zoom screen.
Yeah. I'd gone to a couple of those and I was like, this is not it. Like, just let me watch Tiger King. Like, leave me alone.
Right.
I was going to say when the pandemic hit, that's one of the first things that I just like ran back to was knitting. Like I knit this whole dress. I was like, fuck this. Like I need to do something and like ordered a bunch of yarn and like knit a dress. Like I hadn't knit anything proper, like 2 years prior to that. Like I hadn't knit since 2018. And I just had so much anxiety that I was like, you have to be doing something with your hands. And it helped out a lot, to be quite honest, like just to
put all
that energy into that dress and like into getting it done, which sounds maybe a little crazy.
Yeah. It's like a form of meditation.
Exactly. I was like, does that sound crazy? And I'm like, no, it's just.
I think people, it's like a movement.
For me, that's what it is.
Knit Om. It's like a website. I don't know. It is a thing. People use it. Like for a lot of people who can't meditate, or like for me, especially, I have anxiety. I get, Rick, if I've tried to formally meditate, I've had panic attacks. Like I can't, but if you do more mindful things and use that as your form of meditation, I feel like that's more my speed. Like at least have that going on.
Like that for me was like an unintended consequence of knitting, or benefit of knitting for me, was that meditative aspect. And it really helped me focus. Like I used to knit in school, in high school, and just like bring my knitting to my history class. And it would help me focus so much better on what the teacher was saying. And my mind wouldn't like drift, or, you know, I wouldn't be like doodling or writing thing or whatever. When we're talking about like, when did knitting become cool? I remember I actually didn't learn to knit from either of my grandmothers. It was my friend's older sister, who I thought she was so weird, but like in such a cool, fun way. And I thought she was so fun and cool. And like one time I went over and she was knitting. I was like, you're knitting? Like, you're so young. Like, what are you doing knitting? And she's like, oh yeah. And she would just be, you know, knitting. I'm like, okay, now you have to show me. And then I started doing it in school. Just one, like I loved attention, but two, and that'll do it. But also it did feel like a little bit subversive to be like, yeah, I'm 16 and I'm, you know, a more like, I'm kind of like different than these other girls and I'm knitting in school. Also lesbian. No one knows that yet, but I am a knitter. But like anything to like, that made me feel different. I was like, yes, yes, I am different. Maybe I didn't know exactly how yet, but I'm like, maybe it's the knitting, you know?
Yeah. No, I totally get that. And, you know, like just going back to like my own, when I started out, I was pretty young when I started knitting. I was like 17 and it was with my ex's mom who was a lesbian, but still is probably.
Hey.
But yeah, I was like in these little like knitting circles, you know, with these like older women, a bunch of queer women who were just very like unapologetic about themselves. Like they were the coolest people to me at that time. I was like, y'all are so gay and you sit in bars and knit and you're just drinking. Like this is so much fun, you know, and it feels really nice to like be where I'm at now and be able to like host a knit night. And yeah, we had someone come from like, it was Long Island, I think. Which is wild. If I lived in Long Island, I'd be like, that would never happen. But also, you know, it is what it is. But so amazing. Her name was Nicole and she was doing cross stitching. And, you know, she's just like, there's not much to do out there. And it felt really fucking amazing to have someone like come out and like find a little community, you know, like when they really needed it. But it was really, really good. And I'm just like so looking forward to more like craft nights. And it really is a nice opportunity to just hang out. And not because y'all were talking about anxiety. I have anxiety and I'm a bartender, which is not a good mix. So when I'm like anxious and out, you know, like drinking can be the way to go. And knitting has always been something that just like takes up like actual physical space, like I'm doing something. So I'm not like worried about drinking too much and I can carry a conversation and knit at the same time. So like, you know, whether I'm doing it. Yeah, exactly. If I'm doing it like at home by myself, I'm fine and I'm calm and I can totally do it. I'm just out amongst people and it's like my literal like security blanket at times, which is nice.
I love that.
What's your favorite thing to knit, or like the thing you knit that you're most proud of?
I did make, I'm not even friends with this person anymore, which kind of sucks, but I knit a wedding shawl once. It was so this is it's a popular shawl. It's called the Haruni. It's on Ravelry. Like the knitters will know what I'm talking about. Like that's when you know you're in, when you just like drop pattern names. You're like, oh, this one. But I had only been knitting for, it felt like maybe a year or so. Are you looking up the Haruni shawl?
I looked at the first thing that comes up is Haruni pattern on Ravelry.
Yeah. By Emily Ross. Shout out.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. But it's so wonderful. And like, that's one of the first shawls that like I ever made. And it was pretty sick to like see my friend like walk down the aisle, like wearing that shawl.
Yeah.
You know, it was a really good feeling. So that's like one that's pretty high up there. And then I just have like little random things that mean a lot to me. One of my favorite designers is Jessie May. Absolutely amazing. Makes like the cutest like crop tops. I am not known for wearing full length tops ever, basically. like even the sweater I'm making, I did not intend for it to be, but it's going to be a crop. It is what it is. But those like patterns are also so amazing. It's so cool to see how much knitting has changed too, you know, like as I've like grown and I've spent like all this time on Ravel. Like I think Ravelry started in 2006 or 7 and I joined in 2010. So it's been like 12 years of using this website and just seeing like the changes in patterns and like what people are wearing more nowadays. The TikTok kids are making crazy things. Yeah. Like they're all over. It's pretty cool, but I don't know. I guess like everything that I make is pretty intentional. I'm pretty proud of most of the things that I've put out there. But that shawl is like, it was a really pretty shawl.
Yeah.
It was really nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
What's something, this is a very selfish question. What's something that seems hard to knit, but actually isn't that hard and I might be able to do?
Ooh.
That's
have
not
you
a scarf.
Knit in the round? Have you done that?
Okay, yes. I knit in the round the first time, but I need to do it again. So my wife got like a thank you gift from a client in Canada. Uh-huh. And in it was this like little knit kit. And it was like knit a hat in the round. And it was my first time knitting in the round, which I didn't realize how easy that was going to be. And that is what I'd only crocheted hats up until then, because crocheting is like so much easier to do that. And at least in my untrained mind, it felt very...
Oh, I can't crochet for anything. Like, I can't okay. do it. It sucks. I hate that about myself. I'm trying to change it.
I mean, I could be doing it wrong. I don't know. But I, for some reason, like, crocheting seemed like an easier way to make a hat. And then I was knitting in the round, and I knit this hat. So it came with the yarn. It came with the pattern, the needles and everything. The size of this hat, let me tell, it was so big. I don't know whose head it would fit on. And I made it right. It's this it's like a Jamiroquai. Like, it's just like this huge beanie. I'm like, this looks ridiculous. And my wife has like a little bit of a bigger head than me. I'm like, maybe this will fit. And she has like a lot of hair. I'm like, maybe this will fit you. No.
Oh, no. Like, I was going to say, send it over. I have an enormous
fell over
head.
Her face. No. It's like a hat you would use to like kidnap someone, like you throw them in the car and then you put it over their head so they can't see where they're going.
So it's like more of a sack kind of.
Yeah, yeah. It's more of a face sack. It's a sack for your face. It's not a cute beanie like was promised. So now that I know, I want to attempt that again, knitting in the round. But it's like, once you know how to, is that the key to making a sweater? Like,
pretty
can
much.
I ever make a sweater? How long will it take me to get there?
I bet you could make a sweater now. Like, I bet you could.
Okay.
I was going to say, it might be unpopular opinion, but socks, I think, are not nearly as hard as people make them out to be. It takes some time.
Okay.
But there's like this method you could use where you have this super long circular needle and you just like double it in on itself.
Okay.
And you can make socks like one pair at a time. So you'll have two socks going at the same time. Listen, you can do it. I have full
faith. I'm coming
faith.
To craft nights at Good Judy.
Yeah, is this regular?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing it every 2 weeks. We're telling folks they're like, they can feel free to go every Monday. But I personally will be there every 2 weeks. And it'll be interesting because knitting tends to like wind down a little bit over the summer because it's hot. Nobody wants to like make things and stuff like that. Right. But I'm trying to be good this year. I'm like, just work with, you know, that's when you switch over and you work with cotton or like linen.
Yeah.
Bamboo can be like really nice to work with over the summer as well. I was just flexing a little bit. My yarn knowledge, that's all.
I'm so proud. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
But yeah, I bet you could do a pair of socks for sure.
Okay.
You just gotta get back into it. And like I said, it's like muscle memory. Like if you know how to do it,
right,
you'll be able to just like jump into it after a certain point.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is the most challenging thing to knit?
Oh, okay. It's a certain pattern is what I would say. It's called brioche.
Brioche.
It annoys me. It's very beautiful. I love brioche. It's so gorgeous. And it's basically like double-sided. It's a technique that just never stuck with me. Herringbone is also a little annoying to do. I love anything herringbone though. But it's such a pain to knit. But I would say those two. As far as like clothing and things go, I just have a pretty good grasp. Like when it comes to sweaters, I have a good grasp. I made like shorts. Blankets are fairly easy. Tops are easier. But it's not the shape. Like sometimes it's just a legit pattern that I'm like, I actually can't do this. And I don't have to, so I'm not going to do it.
Oh,
Do you think you'll pick up knitting?
Have we convinced you?
I'm gonna try. I want to. I need one skill. I am not good at anything. I need.
Well, you said you had the urban hikes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hiking.
Can do. I was wondering if I would come out of this conversation convinced to knit or needlepoint. The cafe by me has. Is it needlepoint? No, cross stitching.
Cross stitching.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know that I know the actual difference between the two.
Me neither.
Yeah. That's like not really in my forte.
Yeah. I'm just so impressed by there's one like gallery wall in the cafe by me, and they put the work up of this like black queer Brooklyn based, either needle pointer or cross stitcher. And she has like scenes from, But I'm a Cheerleader, like laid out perfectly stitched, like Janelle Monáe, like just like beautiful works. And I keep going in for my coffee and thinking I want to pick that up, but it seems a lot more difficult than knitting, which makes me say I will try knitting first.
Knitting, I think, I don't know. There are some people who are like avid knitters. They're avid like crocheters. I definitely lean more towards knitting, crocheting. I've tried and I don't think I'll ever get the hang of it. Truly. I do want to get into cross stitching pretty badly though. It just seems so cool. It seems like you can get the coolest like things out of cross stitching and like embroidery. That's like next on my list. Do you do it?
I used to. So this is another one where I wish I could pick it up again. But I mean, when I say I used to do it, it was just like getting those pattern bags from Michael's, and it has all the floss in it, and it has the, the embroidery material to do it, or the cross stitch material. And then the patterns are very like self-explanatory. It's like this color, this many threads of the floss, a half stitch, a three quarter stitch, a full stitch. It, like, there aren't too many tricks to it. Yeah. And I would make these like little pieces of art that I would give to my grandparents, like as gifts.
But that's so wonderful. I love that.
It's nice. The most frustrating thing about it is like sometimes you get these kits and it's like, they didn't give me enough of the red 6349A floss. God,
like DMC threads. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, but besides, or like you're getting to like the very end, I'm like, I need to make this like little piece of floss, like last, like, but I don't know. That's fun. I think you can make really fun things cross stitching. For me, knitting's a little bit harder because I guess I don't do it enough yet where I can like look and count and be like, oh yes, I'm this many stitches into this. I'm like, wait, does this count as a stitch? What counts it? Where am I? Was this last row knit or purled? I have no idea what I just did. Yeah. So I have to be like, I'd love to get to that point, though, where I can just look and be like, oh, I know exactly where I am.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like just going back to how much knitting has changed. Like, there are so many apps now that I use instead. Like, I used to keep track of, like, my rows just, like, with tally marks on a piece of paper.
I'm at tally marks, but there's an app that I can get. Okay.
Yeah, right. No, there are, like, specific row counter apps where you can actually even upload your pattern into them. And like you can check off your rows. Dang. And go highlight like the part of the pattern that you're on. It's that's when I feel kind of like old, and I know I'm sure like folks will be laughing at that one, but I'm like, you know, back when I was there, like I had to do this and this, and I know I've had so much more help, like so many more resources, like even just Ravelry in itself. But yeah, I'm like so amazed that I can go on my phone and just get my row counter now. Yes. Keep up with it that way.
This is really changing my world, Ty. We need to get that app to sponsor this episode. I don't know if we can do it in time.
Right, and Revelry. I've learned so much about the tech of knitting today.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
I'm like, I just hope you learned something. Y'all told me to come on and just talk about knitting, and I feel like I did that for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, if people, maybe not Melanie, who is more interested in needlepoint, but if other people are more curious about knitting now, what's a good place to start? What should they do?
So there are actually 4 yarn shops in Brooklyn. And then there's the Michaels as well, which I like Michaels. I have to go to Michaels sometimes. But, you know, shopping local is like the way to go, I would say.
Find your local yarn store, one.
Yes, definitely okay. Do that. I'm going to talk about mine just because that's my baby and I love them so much.
Yes.
But my yarn shop is Argyle Yarn Shop. It's on 18th Street and Prospect Park West. There's also a Black-owned yarn shop in Brooklyn, Strengthen Studio. Yeah. The owner is named Felicia. She is a badass. She's so cool. And that's on 7th Avenue, like kind of near Flatbush, like in Park Slope. I don't remember the exact street, but that's like a wonderful Black-owned option as well. But Argyle, you just walk in and they'll help you. They'll get you started. Like, you know, and especially over, y'all had mentioned before, over the pandemic, like people are probably picking up knitting again. So folks just know to go in and, you know, it's like, I want to get started and need your size 11 needles and your chunky yarn.
Yes.
2 skeins or 2 balls, whichever you need. And you get started with the scarf. That's what you're usually supposed to get started with. It's the easiest thing to make. It's a long rectangle. It won't make you too mad. or it shouldn't, at least.
Well, I'll find a way.
I was going to say, as much as I was going on about knitting is so calming, it's kind of a lie. Like, I get so upset at my knitting. Sometimes I'm like, I have to put it down and, like, go to bed. Sometimes I'm like, you need to sleep because you're just getting mad at your knot right now.
Because I could be a perfectionist about that. Because is it weird that I remember a specific knot in something I was knitting, like an accidental knot?
No,
like
it's not
I remember
weird.
A fuck up from the 3rd grade that I'm apparently still not over.
I'm like, you got to talk about that one.
It was a scarf too.
No, it totally happens. Like, I will wax poetic about this is the most calming thing, and the way that I swear and just like throw my, I've broken needles before because I can't like get a certain section. It's like those toxic gamers who like break their controller.
Yeah, you're on the subway just cracking it over your knee.
It's literally happened.
Someone's got
before.
Their cell phone out. Taping
World Star.
Yeah. literally, that is me.
Yeah.
But, you know, it happens. Like, that happens with anything also.
Yeah. Can I quickly tell you when I was knitting in the round, this stupid pattern, like, they made it sound like this is for somebody, like, who hasn't done this before. Here's this little kit. It's all easy. And then it said to do a stockinette stitch. I'm like, okay, I didn't know in the round you don't have to change because you're just going around. So I'm like, why am I not getting stockinette? And I'm like, I must have miscounted. So then I like took it all apart and did it all over. And then it kept happening. I'm like, what am I doing?
Oh,
and I
no.
was getting so mad, and my wife is like, why are you struggling? I'm like, I should have just Googled
and nobody
it,
understands because they're like, you're knitting, this should be fun, and you're just like, no, I'm upset, like this is upsetting to me right now.
And then the end result again was like a face sack and not a cute beanie.
I'm
but,
so curious as to what it was with that pattern. Like, I wonder if like your gauge was off or like what was going on there. If you had a kit, everything should have been
Everything
like
was in the kit. It came from Canada, so I'm like, you know, what? Maybe it was supposed to go over like the Mountie hat. I don't know. I can say that because I'm Canadian. I can make fun of Canadians and their weird things. Maybe it's to hide a bottle of maple syrup up there. I don't know. I don't know why that hat was so big.
I really wonder, did you do a measurement of the head size at all or no?
No, no.
Okay. That but, helps sometimes.
Yeah. I'm gonna make this again and like be, you know, not think one size fits all and reduce the number of stitches I start out.
You'll get it. I can't wait for you to get it. It's going to be so worth it when you get it.
And like, I'm you have going to bring it something. To Good Judy. Yeah. I'm going to bring it and show it off to you.
Please, I can't wait.
Also, tell our listeners that, like, we didn't get too much into it, but tell our listeners a little bit more about Good Judy just as a bar. Let's support local queer bars. Why should people come to Good Judy?
Truly, this is like one of the best jobs that I've ever had in the world. And I'm like, I can't say that about many places that I've worked. I can't say that about the yarn shop. That was amazing. But yeah, it's just like the folks that go there are some of the nicest people like I've ever met in my life. So welcoming, so open. Like, that's a bar. It feels like Cheers, but a lot less white and, you know, a lot more queer. Like, you go in and, like, everyone literally knows your name, and people will sit down and, like, turn and talk to the person next to them. You know, the shows that happen there are amazing. I have folks come in like, you know, is this a gay bar? Is this a lesbian bar? And I personally just always say it's a queer bar. I'm like, everyone is welcome here. I think we should be more on that page. Not Judy itself, but just I think folks in general.
It does always feel like a good mix.
Yeah, it is does. Usually, I think, a good mix. I mean, I do think it's funny, depending on like who's working. Like, you know, Ginger's was unfortunately closed for a little bit there.
Right.
So we had a lot of like the neighborhood like lesbians coming in. And there were nights before where like it felt like the bar was cut in half and like all the lesbians are with me on my side. And all the gay boys were on my coworker's side, like with him. But it does feel like a very like beautiful mix of people. You know, it's the same owners as Come On Everybody and Bed-Stuy. I'm just like truly in love with both those spots. Like,
best
just
vibes.
So near and dear to my heart. Yeah.
And they have a non-alcoholic list on the menu, which I think is important for like, just like a queer bar. There are so many sober queer people who get frustrated going to bars, and they have like a full like non-alcoholic beer on the menu, which my girlfriend loves. And I think a lot of queer people will appreciate. Yeah. If they're ever in Brooklyn.
Yeah. And I'm always ready to like make a non-alcoholic like spritzer, something cute for someone. You know, I'm all about, hey, sometimes you just want to sit and socialize at the bar and you want a seltzer or a glass of water, and you shouldn't feel like weird doing that. I have a lot of customers sometimes like, well, I'm not drinking. And I'm like, I don't care. You can still hang out at the bar. It's okay. Like, you don't have to feel pressured into doing anything.
And it opened in the pandemic.
Yes. They were supposed to open, I think, like March or April of 2020. I can't really remember. But it got pushed back to July. So it'll be like 2 years later this year, which is really amazing. And I came on last June, definitely like in time for Pride.
Right in time
weekend.
For Pride.
Yeah, which was crazy.
Oh my God. The outdoor drag shows outside in front all summer were so much. I had too much fun at, I will say.
They're truly amazing. Like, it's fun. Just, I am so glad that Good Judy is there. Like, I just, me personally, like, of course I work there, I'm a little biased, but you know, I go there on my days off. Like, I'm hosting a craft club there. I love it so much. Like, I want people to just like come hang out with me.
Yes.
And also work on their projects. So yeah, it's really, I could go on and on about knitting, just as much as I could go on about knitting, probably.
Well, thank you so much for going on about both those things, because we are interested in them, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are going to love hearing about this. Where can people follow you on Instagram if they want to see some of your projects or whatever you're up to?
On Instagram, I believe my hashtag is TY_BERGULOSIS, tuberculosis. And I'm usually, because my mom's pet name for me is the tuberculosis, which is So hilarious. My initials are TB.
Never heard I'm that like, one.
Isn't that weird?
I get your initials being TB. That is kind of, your mom's got jokes. Mm-hmm. Oh, she's got jokes.
She was a funny one. She was a funny one for sure. But yeah, Instagram, really lately, I've just been trying to honestly stay off it a little bit more.
Sure.
Not feeling social media this winter so much. But you can always find out like where I'm working, probably through Instagram, and then when the craft nights are happening. And information about that can be found on Good Judy's Instagram as well. I think it's like Good Judy BK.
Yeah. Yes.
But yeah.
Great. And then for any of our listeners who also agree that knitting is sexy, are your DMs open? I mean, I know you just said you're staying off, but you know.
My DMs are generally open. If I don't respond, it's because I'm sleeping, because I work 5 days a week. I'm super tired. I'm sorry. I'll get back to you. I'm like already preempting it. I'm like, I'm sorry. But yeah, they're pretty open. Why not?
Love it. All right. It's been a pleasure, Ty. This is so much fun.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I've had the best time with y'all. I appreciate it.
Melody, we need to wrap up this episode because I want to start knitting some socks.
Okay. Actually, the apartment I'm dog sitting at right now, my friend is an avid knitter. There's half finished projects all over the place.
Bring me one. I'll finish.
I love it. Yeah. I want to jump in. That's rude. I can't just pick up her stuff. No. But it's like, it's all over the place. It's so tempting.
That's very tempting. That's like, no, I'm not even going to make that comparison. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Listener question time then. Okay. We had to shorten this question. It was a bit lengthy. We're paraphrasing. I think we got all the points in our...
Yeah.
Okay. So the shortened question is... My girlfriend of 2 years isn't out to her mom and doesn't plan on coming out to her anytime soon. This is frustrating to me because I'm then excluded from anything involving her family, including her dad's recent funeral. How can I feel less hurt by this? Or is this a red flag for the relationship?
I think we've had a similar question before. It is a tricky one. Because, yeah, I mean, 2 years to be dating and to have to pretend to be the friend. If happiest season taught us anything, not okay.
Teach us anything? Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it didn't teach Clea DuVall anything, but it taught us something that this is a bad idea. And that I don't know if I would necessarily call it like a red flag, but it's not healthy or good for you, and it's not meeting
not
your
good
needs.
Good for you as an individual, yeah. And yeah. If that's something you need, then you need it. And you might need to, you know, find something that works better for your needs. One thing I just realized didn't make the paraphrase question is the, in my eyes, important detail that her girlfriend is her family is from a different culture.
Yes.
Her family immigrated from Thailand.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, it's we're working with a culture clash here. And I say that because I was not even a year into my relationship with Allie. And we've talked at length on this podcast about how she invited herself to Thanksgiving that year. Yep, and I had to panic come out to my family. That thankfully ended well. But a few months after that, my grandpa passed and I needed to fly to Connecticut for his funeral. And I would always fly to New York and stay with her because it was cheaper. She, again, assumed she was going to come with me to the funeral. And I was not out to my extended family yet.
Yeah.
So I had to tell her, no, absolutely not. Like, I can't do that. That's too much for me to take on. You're dealing with, you know, grieving your father or grandfather or family member. And you can't, I don't think, mentally take that on. So sure. I understand her girlfriend
Oh, I understand the girlfriend.
That. Yeah. It's also important to realize you don't know the cultural dynamics at play in her family when it comes to.
Yeah. I mean, if you're saying that you want to feel less hurt by this, one, just know that it's nothing personal, that it's not because she's like ashamed of you or who you are. And when I say like it's not a, I wouldn't call it a red flag about this person, because people have to come out on their own time, and they have circumstances that, you know, it's her choice whether or not to be out to her family, but it's also your choice whether or not you're okay with being right. with someone. And it sounds like you're not. I mean, same thing, like Cecilia wasn't out to her dad, and I assumed she was, but everybody, you know, he's like very Catholic in Peru. It's not that accepting of a country when we go there. We're definitely not walking around holding hands or anything like that. And she felt like she could take that step. But like if she didn't, I would understand. Like she doesn't owe me coming out to her family. That's like such a personal thing. But also like you have your own needs, and you shouldn't minimize or ignore that either. So if you feel like you need to be in a relationship with somebody who is out to their family, then, you know, don't deny yourself that.
And it seems like that's where this is heading. We know this person is starting to feel really resentful, which is leading to toxic thinking.
Yeah.
They said in the original email. So yeah. I think that's the indication that this might not be the best situation for you. And I see this play out with all types of couples, straight couples. I know a straight couple that one of them is super Muslim and from Morocco and cannot tell her family that she's dating a white guy in the States who, you know, isn't Muslim, and like can't even come out about that. And it just kept telling him year after year after year, like, I'm going to do it, and then not. And eventually he had to break it off. Like, he thought he would spend the rest of his life with this person, but it didn't work for him anymore. And I just feel bad that he spent all that time getting these empty promises, and I wouldn't want that to happen to you.
What a tough situation. We wish you the best. This was a patron. So their question went to the top of our list. If you're a patron and you have a question, you know, let us know. If you're not a patron, you can still send us a question, dykingout@gmail.com. And we will give you our earnest thoughts on it.
Yeah. Earnestness is in.
It is.
Okay. Cringe is in. We're post cringe, actually. A lot of comedians won't go into this territory. We live there. Okay. Earnestness. Pretty cool. Okay. Pretty cool. No, I'm not projecting all my insecurities about being earnest on the podcast. Absolutely not. I'm okay with it.
Hashtag brave. Hashtag brave. Follow us for more bravery at Dyking Out on Instagram and everywhere. Follow us at Dyking Out Podcast on TikTok. I'm in the hole.
Your turn, Carolyn. What did I say?
Ideas in my head. I have one TikTok I want to make, and it has nothing to do with being gay, so it doesn't
That's
feel
fine.
Like appropriate.
Fuck a niche. I'm sick of it. Sick of labels, sick of niches.
All right,
sick
right. of okay. Yeah. Right. All right. I'll make my face
on
mask
one.
TikTok.
Okay.
Maybe I can make it gay. Follow me at TGI Carolyn.
You can follow me at Melody Kamali.
Thank you so much for diking out with us this week. I don't even know what adjective to use to describe this week, but thank you for, you know, escaping with us to this safe space.
Hang
we
in
love
there.
You.
We love you. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new. Or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.